KCNR Radio. Met or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:05 in the morning on January the 24th, 2011. We're almost out of January. Here, phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And KCNR1460.com is our website and how you can get in there to start chatting. Joined today, of course, Bad Bob.
What happened to the weekend?
You were working all weekend, Bad Bob. That's what happened to it. You know, let's go to the real reason that I'm happy, and here she is, Linda.
Well, thank you.
Makes me happy. You make me happy.
Well, good. That's, you even have a little bit of a squeal there in the... currently 44 degrees this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. Wasn't it a fabulous weekend? We took a walk on the River Trail yesterday and walked by the Senior Center.
Got to talk about it.
Okay, well, today's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 71. Fabulous weather. And brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We went up there on Saturday. Beautiful drive. They are going to have, we're going to start a brand new music series that's going to be happening every weekend. So stay tuned. We're booking it now. And we have Candace Lavolsi out there on the 13th, two sittings. I think the 4 o'clock sold out.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock is sold out. The 12 is still open, but that's for your Valentine's Day sweetheart.
And Candace Lavolsi will be playing out there, and it's a 5-course meal. But they've got a new pizza oven in the works right out on the deck that is going to be phenomenal. Changes in some of the menu, and there's just so many exciting things going on. They've got a Nate, who is their new floor manager up there, and it was a beautiful day.
In fact, John Stadelli will be down here on Thursday to talk. We're going to talk a few things.
Chef
That'll be part
John
of it.
Stadelli.
Yeah, the chef there, and Chef John has been around, and we're going to talk about some of the changes and local business. But let's talk a little bit about local business right now. On the front page of the Record Searchlight, Restaurant Revival. Now, as these three believe it's a time to take a chance, and Brick Smokehouse, Barbecue and Grill, Robbie Cleary wants to bring back, honor her grandfather and bringing back his place.
She owns Tenson Events and Sausage Factory.
That's right. And then Vonda here, who tended bar at Maritime Seafood and Grill in downtown Reading.
For 5 years.
And he's dedicated his life savings to the dream to own his own restaurant. Now, here's what I like about it, is that last week, we pounded at the Record Searchlight and said, why is everything? Oh, this business has gone out of business. Another one's gone out of business. Here's another one. And I said, there were many businesses that started last year that are still here. And there's people out there that are fighting a good fight. People not afraid to take a chance. And people going out there and starting their own businesses. And we should support them. And the Record Searchlight ought to get on board with this thing. And let the people know there are neighbors and our fellow Readingites and North Staters that have not rolled over, that have not given up, and they're fighting. They may have cut back in their businesses, they may have cut back in employees, but they're still in there. And this year, by all intents, by everything that looks like, is that the economy is going to grow some more. We're going to get a little bit better, of course, depending on what Brown does. But that people shouldn't give up. And here we are now, front page, Monday. We got three businesses starting up. Yeah, I like it.
I also have a press release about a local marketing firm here in Reading. Has been in business for 30 years. There's a wonderful history. The January marks the 30th anniversary of the opening of Media Plus. And Media Plus has started off with the Coca-Cola, the family owned the Coca-Cola and McCull's Dairy. And they originally started because they wanted to do advertising within their own, companies. But since then, there's been numerous owners. But recently, our friend Chris Waga not recently. She's been in support and has owned the business, and they absolutely have 60 different companies they support.
Well, you know, here's the thing: is it's another example of another company that, yeah, things were had gotten hard, but
and they donate their services to Haven Humane, the Women's Refuge. And, it, you know, thank you very much for Media Plus for all that they do.
They do a lot of work, like as do other media place, media people here and the media companies. But Chris and Media Plus for 30 years, we've only been here that we've only known that it was Chris being there, and then she just brought on Matt, who's there working too. So anyway, a shout out to Chris and Matt and the people from Media Plus, 30 years. See, another good news story, or not, and it's not a contrived good news story. It's one of people making it, not giving up.
Shop local, stay local.
So, you know, maybe Record Searchlight, you ought to have a few of these on. You know, for every one that falls, I'm sure there's another one that started or it's still doing good. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:14 in the morning on January the 24th. Guess whose birthday it is today? Neil Diamond.
Oh, boy. I saw him live in concert. You know, he...
So did I.
...is quite the star. He is an icon. He is incredible.
I saw him play for like maybe an hour and a half of just his own stuff. In a concert many years ago, decades ago, and I remember being upset because it wasn't all of his stuff. I mean, it wasn't all of the ones that he had
really
he had recorded.
I saw him in Sacramento, yeah. Full on concert, and it was the best sounding concert that I'd seen in Arco Arena. Hey, I have a correction to make, you guys, and I'm really sorry. I somehow scanned this incorrectly. When I was talking about a local marketing business that's celebrating 30 years, it is Media Plus. And it was originally the brainchild of Tom Spade and Bill Fitzpatrick of the Pepsi Cola Bottling Company. Very important correction there. The Pepsi Cola Bottling Company of Reading. And, of course, again, the idea was to have a local company purchase media for the two businesses owned by the Fitzpatrick family, including Pepsi-Cola and the McCall's Dairy. So congratulations, Chris, and all of you again. I'm sorry about if you just tuned in and tuned out for a second. It's Pepsi-Cola.
Well, you know, again...
Media Plus.
Going back to Record Searchlight. We like the Record Searchlight. I have a blog in the Record Searchlight. I believe in the Record Searchlight, but I also believe in saying things like... You know, when they were just talking about everything, how what a failure everything was, and then now how they're bringing out some things that are positive in business, which, you know, how hard is that to do? But the other thing is, okay, I don't want to get trite here or you know, seem small, but on the editorial page is Doonesbury. Doonesbury is, you know, you talk about, how long has Doonesbury been around? 30 years, 40 years, who knows? And it's a liberal paper, it's a liberal column that, you know, that in the sense that it's, you know, it's maybe leans a little bit further left than it does right, a lot further left. So against it was Mallard Fillmore, which was, as somebody in the paper said, it seemed mean-spirited. So they brought in this column called Prickly City. And does anybody understand this thing? I mean, even if you go back and look at it, I mean, this is supposed to be a conservative column to balance out Doonesbury? I don't think so. It's not even close. You know, and in fact, it's a constant, and I'm not even too sure what it is, but it used to be, at least I would read Mallard Fillmore just to see what was going on in it. And this one, it's just like, it's a waste of paper space. And, but the other thing is at least it's in the Sunday paper, from what I understand, and so it kind of balances up against Doonesbury, but I think they can do better than this.
Well, in other news, Jack LaLanne, a one-time sugarholic, who became a television fitness guru. How many of you have not bought a Jack LaLanne juicer? Preaching exercise and healthy diet to a generation of American housewives, passed away.
Oh my God.
On Sunday at the age of 96. I also want to remember in 1984, while he was 70 years old, he had himself shackled and handcuffed and towed 70 boats a mile and a half in Long Beach Harbor.
Yeah, when he was, and then he swam down, then he swam down the Mississippi, so, towing a barge or something.
I worked with Jack LaLanne in Seattle. It was a with the Gold Diggers. We did some kind of it was a fitness convention, and we came in and did like a talk, and there were all these gurus at that time. So Jack LaLanne was there, and afterwards we went dancing with Jack LaLanne in the Space Needle.
Talk about living a full life.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He was feisty at the ripe age of, when would that, must have been in the late 70s, early 80s. Probably right before he tugged that boat in his teeth. 70 boats. So, what a wonderful, inspirational man. We will surely miss him. He was kind of another icon who empowered so many people across the world, throughout the world.
He started when he was like, I think he was 12 or something like that. He was having headaches and all types of physical problems, and his mom took him to a health fair or something like that, whatever they had back then, and that's where he started. He gave up all sugar and gave up a whole, I think he gave up flour and started eating fruits and vegetables, and that's what started his life in it.
Paul Bragg is who he took him to. I mean, you've heard of the, Bragg's, you'll go into the health foods today and you'll still have, a Bragg's liquid. It's like a food enhancer, but it's on a natural. And, yes, of course, they had said that in a remembrance of him, do you know that he was French?
Yes.
He was a French immigrant. And it did say that he suffered terrible headaches and mood swings and depression. So he stopped all of that. He started a gym in his backyard. And he actually built his body up and cleaned his diet up. And so it was a natural way of him to become the icon that he became. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, changing the subject again, and coming up later, we've got Mark LaSalle's later in our programs today, and Valerie Ng Miller from the Cascade is going to give away some tickets for some upcoming programs.
When we come back, we're going to talk about, is the Republican Party dead in California? Could that be true? Is the GOP an afterthought? Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:23 on January the 24th. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. You know, on this day where things can get kind of expensive, where you end up paying $20 for a breakfast, at Lumberjacks, their specials are great. Monday through Friday, but they have, for $3.99, they have ham and eggs, includes hash browns, two eggs and toast. $4.99 chicken fried steak and eggs, and $5.99 New York steak and eggs. Great food, great prices, locally owned, the Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. You know, one of the things that, before we left, what I said was that I read this in Mark Beecham's blog. Beecham comes up with some great stuff. Last week, and this is my part. Last week, the Democratic Central Committee of Shasta, of the northern three counties up here, shut down their office. And it was said by some, oh, we don't need an office in the off year, and that their membership had been dropping, et cetera, et cetera. And I, of course, said I hated to see that, because it means that you don't have that loyal opposition. You don't have, the ones that make you get up on your game, like the Jets and the Steelers yesterday, or the Packers and the New York Jets.
The
Bears, the Chicago Bears. You have to have a good opponent to get up on your game. Well, then now UC Berkeley held a conference, and they say is that the GOP, the Republican Party, is dead in Blue California. That they, and it was proven in this last election when everybody was looking for change, and the only change that happened in California, that all Democrats were voted in, and that there's no way that the Republican Party is going to recover from this. We might as well, if you're a Republican or a conservative, just roll over and let somebody throw dirt in your face. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You get up here to the North State, and there's nothing that says is that we in the North State can't control what happens around us, the people in the city council, the supervisors, that we can't keep the sheriff in there that we want and the elected officials that we want, and still manage to, again, elect a Republicans to the Congress and Republicans to the Assembly and to the Senate. It doesn't mean that I think we should give up. On the other hand, the fact that the Democrats have taken a large control of California shouldn't be ignored. And what they have to do is if you're Republican or conservative, is try to figure out how do you get people to come back, or how do you, what can you do to have people vote for something that isn't an entitlement, or that how do you get them to look at something and say, wait a minute, you know, we've got to make California more business friendly, and we can't do that by continuing to add on restrictions on business and continuing to raise fees or raise taxes and keep taking care of people who have made lifestyle choices and not are still trying. You know, I don't understand how that type of mentality from here can kind of like go through the rest of Southern California.
Hey, Jimmy, in our chat room, best of luck to you, and sounds like you've been healing, and best of luck to you if you go back to the job that you held for many years. Hopefully you love that, and we will miss you. We've missed you being an integral part of our morning time. So, again, best wishes to you in your new freedom as far as being out of,
the physical therapy and everything. Physical therapy. Yeah, and thanks so much for the things you've done, Jimmy. Like, give us the McDonald's Happy Meal certificates to give away to people. And then you came in when it looked like the ammunition bill was going to start and people were not going to be able to buy ammunition without giving a thumbprint. And you came in with two gift certificates from Bastiani Arms to give away to people. And as it turns out, it was put on hold. So I said, here, Jimmy, come back and get your certificates. And what he said is that, no, you know, you had some people on today from the Women's Refuge. He says, just give it to them so they can use it in a silent auction. And that is just an outstanding example. And let's go to the phones. Aaron.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hi guys. I just wanted to let you know that conservative politics are certainly not dead. And there are a whole bunch of people right now headed for a school board meeting down on South Bonneville, where the word on the street is that a group of teachers that are retiring this year are going to vote themselves $15,000 golden handshakes or whatever. I guess it's never been done before.
Oh, what's this
and,
now?
And apparently the school board is meeting this morning. Reading School Board is meeting this morning at 7:30. Unpublished meeting, but apparently there's public comment allowed. But the meeting couldn't be found anywhere. I got a couple phone calls over the weekend. And I remember the whole thing with the lady that, you know, may or may not have embezzled money
from the
school system.
Right.
Yeah, apparently some of those folks are people tangled in that, and some other things are retiring, and the gift for retirement is $15,000.
Okay, wait a minute, Aaron. I want you to hang on to the other side of the break because we only got 30 seconds. Are you saying these are people of the school board that are giving themselves I thought they only got paid a modicum or just.
Well, I'm gonna go find out. The meeting starts in a half a second. How about if I call you from there when I figure out what's going on?
Great,
Aaron.
We'd like that. Okay, thanks a lot, Aaron. We got a break.
Will do. Bye.
All right.
Thanks, Aaron.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, Fort 1960, the home of Free Fire Media. 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Lindebaugh, 7:34 in the morning, January the 24th. Yeah, Linda's jumping around here and dancing. And
woohoo, it's Monday!
That in itself is great. 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. B&T Satellite, located at 1345 Liberty Street. They have moved. And their phone number is 244-1988, and they do dish satellite. Doug Tooley has done a great job with that. 15 years in the business, veteran, local, and does good work. Why else would you want to go someplace else? That's 244-1988.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Bob, welcome to the program. You're live.
Good morning.
Morning. What's going on?
All right. Well, it's Monday, the sun's out, the days are getting longer. Life's great.
Well, it is.
So it. Go ahead.
I think we ought to bring back the State of Jefferson movement.
Well, you know what? There's a lot to be said for that, Bob.
I think there is a movement, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's probably still alive, yeah. But it needs more momentum.
Yeah, it could be. It's that, you know, the thing about it is we've got so much going for us up here in the North State, and the people in the flatlands don't. They've got, you know, they've got whatever keeps them there. And I don't think, you know, it's kind of what this thing is. It's an envy, but they don't want us to be too happy.
Yeah, well, they spent too much time in commuting traffic to think about anything else, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the we are so happy that we came up here to the North State.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we always like your input, and your question is not you're not alone in that. We get it probably on a regular basis, Bob. People talking about the State of Jefferson, and that if there's a North and a South Dakota and a North and a South Carolina, why can't there be a North and South California? And that the Northern State would be, you know, including the Oregon, the border of Oregon would change as well. That's originally where it was beginning. It was going to be the Southern Oregon border and Northern California border were going to merge. And I'm not exactly sure how far that went up towards Northern Oregon, Southern Oregon. Bob, are you weighing in?
Well, having talked to some folks in Josephine County, Jefferson County, things like, in fact, there is a Jefferson County, they suffer the same thing. Their politics in Southern Oregon are dictated often by the folks up at the north end of the Willamette Valley, Portland, and Salem and all that. And their interests don't always jive up. So there's kind of a common interest in the middle, as you will.
Yeah, but see, it even goes further than that. If you go to up to Washington State, you'll see once you get past the Cascades there, when you get away from Seattle and along the coast, the rest of Washington State is pretty conservative. And I think you're seeing, and like Bob said, with Oregon, the same way. Along the coast, it's they're the ones because it has a large population or a larger population. And they end up running everything, even though people in the rest of the state don't feel the same way. Anyway, Bob, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, bye-bye.
Right, going back into our chat room, Carl, we were talking earlier about the teachers having a meeting. And Jimmy weighed in about, I believe, that when he was, his granddaughter or his somebody came home with a test from a teacher from a classroom, it's saying that about the Vietnam era or Vietnam, what did the soldiers do that was wrong? It kind of
about 8 years ago, a teacher at Shasta Meadows gave my daughter a take-home assignment. It said essentially, tell us why the soldiers in Vietnam are wrong. And his father, who was a Vietnam vet, kind of went through the roof. So they complained, and it was an apology was sent home the next day. But still.
But the point was that the agenda of teachers and how our children, as we grow up, really do look to our teachers. And, you know, you see so many of our kids that come back from school or from college that are basically their values never change, but their system, their ideas about our government and how things are run really do become skewed.
And speaking of government, Aaron, good morning.
All right, Aaron.
Aaron, you're there. On.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was turning my volume up. We're standing in the parking lot down here at South Bonneview, East Bonneview School or whatever it is. And the school board meeting is magically closed now.
Oh.
Yeah, they
they canceled it?
Didn't take any public comment and close the meeting when they saw people come in, and one of our people had a video camera, which I'm sure was instrumental in in the lack of transparency. I guess the most interesting part for me was they decided to forego the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well,
classic.
This is the school board that this is the Reading School Board.
Uh huh.
And so they're and you think that they're there to
serve us?
Well, no. Do you think they're there to bring a to give themselves the school board a raise or the teachers a raise?
No, it's not the school board. It's they have some embattled positions, and so they're inventing apparently a a bonus, a $15,000 bonus for anybody who signs an agreement that they're going to retire this year. But of course, there was no printed agenda.
there was nothing online about this meeting. I found out through a couple phone calls. So there was.
So if you work for the county, or the Redding City School Board, and you want to retire, they're going to give you a $15,000 bonus.
Not the school board, the school.
Just the school itself. So a teacher.
The school itself.
And so that's teachers or administration or anything.
I guess there's some tangle with librarians. We came to find out what the deal was, but it only lasted for a minute and a half. I'm gonna put somebody else on here who's been to a bunch of school board meetings, and she's still standing here shaking her head.
Great.
Hold on 1 second.
Hi, Carl.
Hello. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
See? Fine. Yeah, when I walked into the room, I sat down, and I was assuming because they could see I was a new face that they would tell me that I have the right to fill out a card and make a public comment, which I would have done. And they did not have the Robert's Rules of Order, which I noticed right away, in my opinion. They did not clearly tell everybody in the room what they were there for. They just said there's no public comment card. Oh, this is my kind of meeting. And she slammed the gavel down, and that was it. Meeting adjourned.
And so
I was there all of 3 minutes.
So they're not going to have a meeting then?
No.
So they canceled their meeting.
But they technically can say they had one.
Okay. So you think they'd already agreed on something? Who heads up the school board?
Of course they did.
So who has the school board?
I printed out a couple things from the newspaper because I sometimes don't keep up on the local issues. I'm more global and national.
Uh-huh.
If you want specifics, I'll give you my email, and you can email me, and I'll find the information for you and give you, specifics.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is we have to take a break, so stay on the phone, and Bob can get that. But I'm concerned is that this was they were going to have a school board meeting. When people showed up, they decided to cancel it. And what you're saying is, hey, legally they did have a school board meeting because
yes.
It was only open for a minute and a half, and they could have voted on something before that and to make it legal this time.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
that's
you know
the appearance.
Well, I tell you what, we'll just give them a call today and see if we can get them on tomorrow to explain that to us.
Now, that'll be interesting.
Okay, hey, look, we got to take a break. Hey, thanks a lot,
bye.
Aaron. We the people, Sunday morning,
bye.
8 to 10. Okay, Bob, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got two or three other things we need to talk about before our next guest, Mark LaSalle from EDC.
Hey, KCNR 1460 on your dial.
Welcome back. It's 7:46 in the morning. We're running a little bit behind schedule here, but we're going to catch up. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. A great place to visit. It's got Espresso Joe's with great coffee. You can buy it. And then you have the finest walk-in humidor in the state of California. That's Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley, Great Americans, at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, and these are some questions for our next hour, will be Mark LaSalle from EDC. What did you think about the where we were walking yesterday and the wedding show?
I thought it was pretty amazing. I couldn't believe how packed it was. And thank God for the expertise of Bob Belongi, because they went live. And when we drove around, we were going to go in and say hello to Don Schulman, who does, of course, Bridal Talk, has a show here on Sundays. 80 people standing in line to get into the seniors.
At least 80.
I'm not kidding. The parking,
no parking
lot. We were walking on the trail, and we rented. People said, we couldn't find a place to park anywhere, even on the other side of Diesel Horse Bridge.
Big thank you to my bride, who totally had my back during that broadcast yesterday. A big kudos to her for covering me, because it was a little crazy.
It was, and but I could not believe how many people were there. I mean, it wasn't like there was just a few. The parking lot was filled. The parking lots around it were filled. There was parking across, and the park was filled. I mean, hundreds of people were there, and they're all coming and talking about, this is where I'm going to come to buy, I'm going to have a huge wedding, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. It was really cute.
I did
really.
Want to hear them say, yeah. what is huge? They all say, it's really big. I'm going to have a really big wedding. Okay, is that 100, 200? What? I just wanted to hear a little bit of that, but there were a lot of June brides. Okay, Kids Unlimited. We love Kids Unlimited. Here's a public announcement. the Institute of the Arts, KU, has developed a new theater program to further its mission of providing professional, high-quality theatrical experiences to help young people develop dignity, character, and a sense of belonging through the performing arts. If you've never been to Kids Unlimited, or you have kids that are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their summer, trust me, this is an amazing program. So Saturday, February 26th, KU, Kids Unlimited's new theater program, Project Broadway, is holding auditions for Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at 9 a.m. In Kidder Hall. That's at the First Baptist Church in Reading, 1959 Eureka Way. Again, the date to go for auditions is 9 a.m. in Kidder Hall at the First Baptist Church in Reading on Eureka Way. There are over 25 parts to fill and students up to 20. That's pretty cool. You know, there might be that in-between stage. You know, you graduate and quite not ready to 18 to 20. This is a phenomenal program. Again, we'll be reading that later, but it's Kids Unlimited auditions for a wonderful Project Broadway.
Okay, and by the way, when on those phone calls, they were talking about the Reading School Board. We were not addressing teachers about this.
No bashing.
No bashing to teachers. We like teachers. I have my teaching degree, and in fact, I've substitute taught in the city of Reading. Your children will probably never be the same. No, we were talking about what is this, what's going on with the school board, is this a tempest in a teapot, or is this truly something that the people should know about, that they're getting ready to offer up stuff that, you know, comes out of our taxes and that we need to, you know, at least address in open forum, and plus, you know, considering the problems that the Reading School Board has had with some of the members there and people that are in support of it.
Make a clarification that, when I say our kids go away to school, when some of our kids go off to college and they come back, we really want our children to be free thinkers, and this is where our great minds are developed. I'm just saying that some times in certain studies, kids will come back, and it's so funny to watch. It's not funny, but it's parents will have to adjust when they've been raised and to have a certain mindset, and they'll go to college and they'll study certain things, and maybe a teacher will have a little bit more of a liberal sense of thinking, or a lot liberal sense, and the kids come back and there's these really heated discussions about things that, you know, their minds are really pliable at that point.
I think also is what we're saying is that you have to be very attentive of your child's education. Very attentive. I mean, we're not knocking teachers, but there could be things that are coming home from individual teachers. Nobody's perfect. That, you know, that goes against what you believe and what you've been teaching your children. You need to pay attention to what's going on with your children. And if you don't, then bad on you. Hey, look, we got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
One, come have lunch with me. We'll talk about politics, culture, and family. The Alana Burke Show here on KCNR 1460.
All right, we've been going into the Alana Burke Show now. What are we in our third week, almost a month now that Alana's come on here on Free Fire Radio, and we brought her into KCNR family from Saturdays to weekdays at 12. So I think I tuned in the other day while I was driving around, as it several other times, and she's doing a great job. Currently 7:55 in the morning here on the 24th of January. What happened to January? Lots of emails coming in, but let's go to the phones. Bob, you are live on the air.
Again? Wow, twice in one day. Yeah, Alana Burke is doing a good job. I enjoy her show. And you make a comment about how the teachers seem to have a liberal agenda. A good book to read is Don't Take My Lemonade Stand.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes.
I think it should be mandatory reading for students in higher grades. I mean, it's written simple and plain, and just common sense way it's presented.
Well, going to school, it should just be it should be the start. You know, the students should be encouraged to reach out, to branch out into things. But again, it goes back to
the parents that have to pay attention and have to really augment what they're getting in school. Unfortunately, I don't believe that happens a lot of times. You know, that teachers see their see children more than their parents do, and in some cases will have much more of an impact than their parents can have if their parents don't interact more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thought, though.
That's a good thought.
All right. Thanks for weighing in. Don't Take My Lemonade Stand is called the book.
That's a very good book. Yeah. Everyone should read that.
All right.
All right, Bob.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Again,
Bye.
We don't want to sit here and say, you know, Mr. Holland's Opus. I mean, hopefully we all had that teacher that really lifted us from a place to be a greater person and to be involved with our community and care about our fellow man. I think that's what you learn in school. You learn that from your folks, but you also learn that from organizations like the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, 4-H, those wonderful organizations that help you give to your community, teach you about giving to community.
You know, a couple of things also. In our next hour, we have Mark LaSalle from Economic Development Corporation. It's for the county of Shasta and three main cities here that pick up the cost. And what he'll be talking about, one, is what is the EDC and, you know, the number of projects that they do, but also what's happening at state level about losing funding and some success stories. So hopefully by the end of the next hour, you'll have a good idea what the EDC does. You know, one of the things that is kind of gives you kind of a happy type thing, or not happy, but maybe it's more positive, is that 54% of California employers have hiring plans, and employers feel better about their prospects in 2011, with the majority of California businesses planning to hire new employees and bump up workers' pay. But the recovery is still going slow. And a lot of this has got to have something to do with the budget, and it's got to do with making business more friendly, the business atmosphere more friendly here in California. And I can't help but think that anything that you see is people feeling, okay, yeah, maybe it's getting better, is going to be tied in directly to what Governor Brown does. And, in fact, it will have. It will be directly tied into what he does in the Democratic Senate and the Democratic Assembly. And if they don't do something to make it more business-friendly, it's just going to continue getting worse. It can't get any better. Businesses will still continue to leave. Businesses will still continue not to hire. And they'll just keep hanging on, waiting to see what shoe drops next. But why should they do that? Why can't they just go someplace else and start afresh with tax breaks and a new buildings, the whole thing, provided by communities that want businesses? Anyway. Wow, quick hour. We didn't even talk about watching football. We watched more football yesterday than we have in a year.
How exciting. I am really into it this year.
Well, you know,
I'm a Steeler fan.
We watched one entire football game.
I've always liked the Steelers. I just like it. I feel like they're the gladiators, these big guys. I mean, I don't know. You may think that's ridiculous. I love the game. I don't really know a lot about the game, but I love the grunt of the game. Gotta take a break here. Stay tuned after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, you've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:05, January the 24th, 2011. Our phone lines are 605-4567. If you go to KCNR1460.com, you can hear us stream, and you can also jump into the chat room with all these dozens of other people and ask questions and actually get answers. So,
going to be mostly sunny with a high of 71 today, partly cloudy with a low of 43 tonight. We are facing a fabulous week tomorrow with a high of 73 and sunny again on Wednesday and Thursday. So it has definitely hit the trail. Let's get out of the gloomy mood, perhaps, after the holidays and just the weather, and get out there and get ourselves in shape. 8:06 in the morning again. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Just a short distance out of Palisadro, you don't want to miss Anselmo Vineyards.
The weather this week and the last 2 weeks, I'm frankly a little concerned, because what happens when it hits? Are we going to have a winter here? I mean, another one. And if it does, I mean, I saw green buds on our trees.
Gladiolas
are coming up in our backyard. It's January the 24th.
We often have a false spring, and that this is a big concern for the almond growers and other fruit tree growers, because the trees will get fooled into budding out, and then we will get a February-March cycle where it's wet and rainy and cold, and that'll make for a bad harvest. So this is a concern, but we generally get a warming trend in January.
So. Almond? I thought the almonds were back in. Oh, that's Amish, right. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Hey, Carl, how are you and Linda doing?
We're doing great.
Terry, what's on?
Hey, you guys are already mixing it up today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we've got people in a meeting right now. Anyway, what's happening tonight at Bonnie View Baptist Church at 6 o'clock is we are going to have Orlene Carell. She is the president of the Eagle Foundation. She's going to be talking about the smart meters that are going around. And the real danger, there's really four or five things that are really a danger. Number one, increased utility costs. Number two, these smart meters are associated with memory loss and a range of other symptoms. The radiation given out on them, if you have a pacemaker and they have already put a smart meter on your specific PG&E gas line, then what you can do is get a doctor's order, because it has been shown that pacemakers can be affected. It's a tremendous invasion of privacy in a couple of ways. One being, let's say that Linda wants to do the wash at noon. Let's say she wants to do the wash at noon, and it's a peak hour during the summer. Well, they actually, with these radio waves, if you have new appliances, can shut off your washer so that you can't wash during that time.
Now, wait, now, Terry, you know, man, I love you. Are you saying is that PG&E can shut off your washer or dryer?
I'm not saying it. It's a fact that they can be shut off.
Have they ever done that?
This is not. I don't have a tinfoil hat on here.
Okay.
I'm with you, brother. Listen, people who know me and you know me.
Yeah, I do know you. That's why.
I'm not even out there. Not even a little bit. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so the thing is that this stuff is really happening. In fact, there's even some legislation coming up about these things. As far as the health and safety issues, there are people who have gotten doctors. Orders and have been able to get the smart meter off of there because of pacemakers. There is radiation that come out of these things.
Hmm.
What it is there's a radio chip that will go in new appliances. Okay.
Okay.
These new appliances can be shut off from, these meters. It can be shut off so that you're not using excess electricity excess gas or electricity. Okay.
Okay.
So these are things that are happening. And
something else to look into on one of our shows, huh?
Think?
Yeah, well, you know, I know that they put one. They put a smart meter on our house, and that our bill has gone up like $1 a day. But we'll have to let it go for a couple months to see if that's true. But it was.
Well, try to get it off.
Well, I mean,
that's the thing. I mean, once it's on there, try to get that smart meter off. That's the thing. But, but honestly, this is the real deal. This is really something that is true, and we are going to have this lady who's an expert on it has, with other people, have pushed back. In the Bay Area, to where they've stopped putting these things on in certain areas, like Marin County.
Okay.
So, honestly...
That's tonight.
I mean, I'm with you, brother. You hear so much stuff out there that's just so insane.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, it really couldn't happen here. But you know what? The city council meeting on Tuesday night, it was pretty interesting, because I did see the city council unite. And they united because they were getting a report on the Quality Air Act. And, in essence, we can't have any more cars up here. I mean, so honestly, it's like they were all just sitting there flabbergasted. It was, a moment of unification.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, okay, that's 6 o'clock tonight?
6 o'clock tonight.
South Bonneville
Baptist Church.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, Terry, for the phone call. That's kind of gives us food for thought there.
You think?
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, hey, look, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest, Mark LaSalle from the Economic Development Corporation.
Coming up next. Wow.
Welcome back.
Let's
to
just
Free
hum your way in the morning.
Okay.
Nearly 8:14 in the morning.
You fooled me, Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:14 in the morning. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. And if you go to KCNR1460.com, we're streaming, and you can jump in the chat room. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Lumberjack's Restaurant, 501 East Cypress. They have a pick-and-pair lunch Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a soup and salad combo, soup and sandwich combo and salad and sandwich combo. Great prices, no more. The most expensive one is $7.99, and you get all different types of selections there. That's a local business, Lumberjacks, 701 Cypress Street. It's a great place to eat. We go there. Our guest, Mark LaSalle.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Economic Development
Corporation.
That's EDC. It. Congratulations on your new appointment.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited about it.
And tell us, EDC, just break down, what does EDC mean and what does EDC do? What is your position and what do you do?
EDC's role is basically, as it says, economic development, and it's building the base of the economy for the region. Our particular part of that is building primary industry within that base. And primary industry, by definition, is any company that makes a product that's sold outside of the market, and therefore the cash flows back into the market, growing that economy. So we're the only organization in town that actually focuses on primary industry to grow that market. Versus, for example, service industries, where dollars are turning within the market, retail, which are basically dollars turning within, we're actually creating products that are sold outside so those dollars flow back in and actually grow the local economy.
Okay, the local economy obviously needs some growing now. And there's been, since we announced your name in the last hour, there's been a number of things flowing through the chat room concerning Stillwater.
Uh-huh.
Your take on Stillwater here.
Stillwater, you're going to look back on in 20 years, is the greatest thing that happened for this economy. And I'll take a big piece of that. I was on the board of the EDC 7 or 8 years ago, actually longer than that, 10 years ago when we first started this. Stillwater is a long-term plan. Everybody's expecting results to happen immediately. It doesn't happen. These things take time to build. In fact, I was doing some research a couple of weeks ago on Mountain Lakes Industrial Park, which has been very successful in North Reading. That took 9 years to build, and it's taken a long time to complete. This is what industrial parks do. Stillwater is exactly the same way. But let me give you just, if I may for a moment, the effect of a couple of industries coming in and what they would do to this economy, and they wouldn't be here if we didn't have Stillwater. And a good one is basically Southern Aluminum Finishing, which we do. The city just signed on about a week ago, and they'll be starting this spring in Stillwater. They're going to come in, they're going to put in $5 million in infrastructure into what they're doing there. They're already a very strong company, been around since 1946. They'll be creating 50 higher-paying jobs. These are jobs paying, you know, $18, $19, $20 an hour with their benefits. They'll be putting $7.5 million a year into this local economy. That's the advantage of Stillwater, and that's probably going to be the smallest company in Stillwater. So you talk about that $20 million investment, it doesn't take many of these companies to get a very good return on Stillwater.
Now, for that one, we gave them how much? How much property did we give?
We gave them, I believe it was a 6-acre site, 6 or 7 acre site.
Okay, and how big is Stillwater?
Stillwater is the actual buildable area, I believe, is around 300 acres. No, excuse me, it's a little less than that. I believe it's around 200 acres.
Okay, 200 acres. Okay, so we gave them a 6-acre parcel to get started.
Let me correct you on that. We didn't give them anything. We put a piece of ground out there, which they are basically buying over 5 years by creating jobs and putting investment back into the city. If they renege on that part of it, they're paying for it. We made an investment in them to basically come to this community, invest in this community, and over a five-year period, if they create the jobs they're doing, if they put the dollars back into this economy, which they are intending on doing, that has been a great investment from our part.
So there's this is the kind of thing we want to see here.
There's no giveaway at all.
That's right, and they've got to hit certain criteria in each year.
Absolutely.
Number of people they hire, et cetera, et cetera. Is that
absolutely
correct?
And if they don't meet it, they're penalized for it. And if they come up short, it's at their cost.
Okay. I think that's important for our listeners to hear that because, you know, I think there's a lot of ideas out there about what people think Stillwater is and how it can be so advantageous to our city.
Absolutely. You know, another one we're hearing about is Southwest Paper. Southwest Paper, we don't know whether it's going to happen. We sincerely hope so. Things are looking good still. They're still working at it very hard. Southwest Paper could not be here if we didn't have Stillwater. It's the only place available in the Northwest. Excuse me, they were looking at 3 sites in the Northwest. It's the only site in California that would fit what they are looking to do. If they come in, they'll be putting $137 million a year back into this economy. So these are the type of companies that we'll be getting coming in. They are the effect on the economy if they come in that Stillwater is creating.
I'll bet you I know who's calling right now. As soon as you mention the paper company, Is it John?
You win.
Okay, I win. I can tell you right now who it was. As soon as you mentioned the Southwest Paper Company, I just, you know, we had a bet here. It's going to take 2 seconds.
I won, John. Thank you very much. John, you're going to have to wait till after this, after we break here. We're a minute over, so we're going to take a quick break here. We've got the phone lines up. We've got the chat lines going. It's Carl and DeBott. Our guest is Mark LaSalle from the EDC. Join us after these messages.
Good morning, North State. You are listening to KCNR 1460.
Oops, go ahead.
Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, I love it. Live radio, 8:23 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music and Sound off of Cypress Avenue. If you're looking for sound equipment, anything that has to do with musical instruments, they've got rehearsal spaces. Go in and see Mike, 243-3774 if you are looking for that guitar and you want to take lessons. I mean, they do it all right there. Mike's Music, Cypress Avenue. Our guest this morning is Mark LaSalle from EDC. Welcome back to the program, Mark.
Thank you.
And we do have a caller on the line. John, you are live on KCNR.
Good morning, Linda. And you guys are always live. As live as you be. Good morning, Carl, Bob, Mark. How are you this morning?
Great.
Listen, there's a couple things I'd like to clear up. First of all, there are 678 acres out at Stillwater, but only 314 acres are ready to go into parcels. So that's one part of it. But the other part that I'd really like to clear up is, in fact, the city is giving things to SAF to do this. They're giving them a loan to build out there, and they're giving them a loan on the property, which is going to be forgiven if they fulfill the necessary commitments that they've made. Forgiven means that they're not going to have to pay it back, which means it's a gift. That's $1.86 million, and the advance of that loan to them is also a benefit. So, in fact, they are being given major incentives to move in out there, so let's not confuse that. EDC has been pushing for Southwest Paper Company, which has absolutely no business history whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the proposed CEO of the company has been in bankruptcy over other businesses, but has not produced one single thing under the name of Southwest Paper Company. It's an on-paper company, not a for-paper company, an on-paper company only. And as far as I can see, the city and EDC are kind of failing in their vetting process in regards to the Southwest Paper Company.
Okay, wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mark.
You know, we're talking about something that is out there. We're not sure whether Southwest is going to happen yet. We're certainly hoping that it's going to. What I really want to share with you, Southwest represents what the park was built to handle. Whether it's Southwest or whether it's another company or whatever that comes to town, these are companies that we could not have handled 5 years ago. Today we can. These are companies that are going to have a huge impact on our economy in terms
of... But Mark,
of,
it's not a company. It's not produced one single thing.
We have a lot of startup companies that come into this community and build very, very good companies as a result. They have all their financings in place. They have a lot of experience in place. The owner of the company, I believe, is in his mid-70s. And again, I haven't been directly involved with it. He's had a long history in that business.
I've talked to Bert Sugarman. He does not have a long history in this particular business.
That's not my understanding, but, you're
claiming
your
experience. That's what I'm concerned about. You're EDC, and you guys are the ones that should be doing this vetting.
The vetting part of it has been well done. I think, I'm not sure that this is the place to go into detail, but
it has not been done.
John, let him finish, John.
All right.
I can assure you, the city of Reading will not be going into any deals, putting any dollars on the table, any credits on the table, without having a very thorough vetting process. That has been done, and at the time that is completed, the whole public will know what's been done with it. They won't be doing anything that won't stand the public scrutiny.
And let's go back to the aluminum company just for a second here. As far as giving a loan, as long as given a loan to the aluminum company, but you're saying is that it's a loan, but it's going to be paid for by the jobs and the taxes and all the other things that are coming in the community. Is that right?
Exactly. It's a five-year period they have on the land. And as long as they meet their criteria in terms of job creation, the benefits of that job creation alone will compensate for the land severalfold. And as long as they meet their obligation during that 5 years, yes, at the end of 5 years, that will be released. But they have their obligations to meet that. Do I have any doubt they're going to? Not at all. And do we, is the city going to benefit from this, and is the whole community going to benefit from this? Because Anderson, Shasta Lake, the county, all benefit from these jobs coming in. Everybody is going to benefit.
Are
and that's
the
probably
the
smallest.
Are the citizens going to pay for the $2 million?
I'm sorry?
Are the citizens going to pay the $2 million write-off on this?
The citizens are going to gain from this. Because
oh,
it's not a write-off.
They're not going to pay that $2 million that we're going to be giving them.
We're going to be receiving taxes from job creation. We're going to be receiving more funds coming in. Basically, $7.5 million of economic impact will be created annually by that company. Of dollars coming into the community, going through all the services in that community, taxes coming into the community that support our police and fire services, all these other things will be coming in. That's what we get in exchange for that one piece of land. It's a big value, and that's the smallest company going in there. As we now have the ability to bring in larger companies, and as I say, Southwest, we hope that it happens. I sincerely do. But
Mark,
if it's not Southwest, it'll be another company just like it, and I think it's going to be a big change. I apologize.
Can I ask you an unrelated question?
An unrelated question, certainly.
Okay. It's been Jerry Brown's proposal, Governor Brown, excuse me, that EDCs be shut down throughout
not
the state.
You're not quite correct on that, John. It's
okay,
actually,
that's what I want to find out.
Yeah, no. What he's looking to do is remove the credits from enterprise zones. And not all EDCs manage enterprise zones. We happen to in this area. The enterprise, he is challenging enterprise zones, and unfortunately, I think they're going about it the wrong way. That enterprise zones, the way they were originally set up, we have 1 minute. Okay, I'm going to just touch on this, and we might have to actually finish it up on the other side.
I tell you what, let's just do this on the other side. John, it's a good point because Mark and I were talking about it. This could have a huge impact on many areas of the state doing away with those zones. So anyway, hey, we're going to have to take a break. John, thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome.
We'll talk about
have
it on the other end.
Yeah.
This is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Our guest is Mark LaSalle with EDC.
That's right. And, you know, when we come back on the other side, we want to talk is the doing away with these zones. But the other things, too, you know, you said it's just a start. And the fact is yeah, yes, taxpayer money were used for this and that. But when you want to build something, you've got to put something out there.
And
we just got to make sure we do it the right way and that the public knows everything that's going on. Join us after the news here. Our guest, Mark LaSalle, EDC, Carl on the bottom. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:35 in the morning, January the 24th, 2011. 605-4567. KCNR1460.com. Get on that, click on there, and you can listen to the show, and you can also jump into the chat room, as many have. And Jimmy, oh, I see Linda's already at, has already answered it. Jimmy, it's not South Africa, it's New Zealand. Our guest, Mark LaSalle from Economic Development Corporation. Now, one of the things that we want to talk about is the enterprise zone. And we said we were going to come back on this side. That Governor Brown has talked about doing away with money for the enterprise zones. And how? What exactly is an enterprise zone? And how will losing that money really affect us?
Okay. Two parts of this. First of all, an enterprise zone was originally set up, I believe they started about 20 years ago. And they were set up in less economic areas of the state to help get people off the support system and back into the workforce. That was the basis of what the enterprise zone was designed to do. Since that time, it's been very effective. We're actually the largest enterprise zone in the state. We have over 5,000 acres of industrial land in the enterprise zone. It's been a very, very effective one for this area. I should say, last year we did, I believe it was 2,700 vouchers for this area. These were people that were taken off support service and put back into the workforce. The state only gives a credit when someone is taken off of services. There's no credit for hiring people that are not on services. They only get a credit by taking somebody off support services and getting them back to work, which is what it was designed for. As a target for the state, it's actually been a target the last 3 or 4 years. every time it comes up because there's a certain group down there that hate to see business getting credits of any kind, so they always target it. And it stood the test the last 3 or 4 years. We hope that it'll do it again this year. But let me give you one more thing. Let me give you the real numbers that support this. To support somebody on social services, that includes CalWORKs, CalMed, various other services, is about $11,800 a year to support somebody on state services. The average credit we did last year was just under $12,000. So for the state, it's a wash, getting somebody back into the workforce. And that's the first year. The credit amount actually drops each year after that, so we actually make on it. The other big winner for the state is now you're getting a tax revenue from that person that's now back in the workforce. One, they're paying taxes of their own. They're also creating second and third jobs for other people in the community who are then paying taxes. They're also the employer because he has more people, generally has a more income base, and therefore more taxes. And the actual taxable amount, based on the model that was created on this, is about $11,000 additional created back to the state. So, in fact, not only is the state getting somebody off of services, back into the workforce, but they're creating a revenue stream back to the state. So the program works.
How many of these people go to work for the city or county, would you say?
I don't think they do go to work the city or county, but they wouldn't get any credit for it.
Okay.
You only get a tax credit if you're hiring somebody, and you only get to use that if you're paying taxes. So they're all going into the private sector.
Okay, so it is. There's other programs out there, too, that they were offering up to get people off of the...
I believe there is.
That, but,
correct.
But, and when we were talking to him, he says, yeah, and we've hired so many for the city. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm not exactly sure how that works, since we're using tax funds to put people back to work for the city and then start paying their... Anyway.
No, this is
so
a
this
tax
is
credit.
Completely. This is just a tax credit. So if I wanted to hire somebody that's in the assistance, welfare assistance system...
Correct.
And then...
You're
in
the enterprise zone right here.
In the state then will pay their or help pay their salary?
They'll pick up 50% of it in the first year.
Okay.
And then it drops after that. It's 40% the second year, 30% the third, over a five-year period.
But they've got to be on assistance right now.
They've got to be on assistance. Or they've got to be, I believe it's an ex-felon. There's various criteria.
Ex-felons?
It doesn't just apply to everybody. So, okay. I mean, these are people that we want to get back into the workforce.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Mark LaSalle. We've just been talking about enterprise zones. We're talking about the Economic Development Corporation. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some projects and plans that Mark's working on. And we're going to finish up this hour with some successes right here in the North State in Shasta County. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
42 in the morning right here on the 24th. Are you just getting up? It's going to be a beautiful day with high, sunny, beautiful day, and the high temperatures are 71.
Now this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite at 1345 Liberty Street. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job, and in fact we were able to watch the football game yesterday and record parts of it because it's got that DVR in it. It's really a great thing.
Slow-mo
and that whole thing. So Doug Tooley, been in business 15 years. His phone number is 244-1988. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. He's a veteran. Who could ask for more? Don't call that 800 number. Call 244-1988, B&T Satellite.
And talk about go local, shop local, stay local. Buy your light bulbs local. Look into buying a cell phone local. The minute you usually dial 1-800, chances are it's outsourced. So you want to stay local, and that was part of the conversation we had at the break. Welcome back to the show, Mark LaSalle, and with EDC, and we're talking about the importance of being local and bringing businesses here, and how we when we're not even looking, companies that are considering moving to the North State are doing background checks, going and reading blogs. Share with us what you were saying at the break.
10 years ago, when a company would be considering California, they would call what we in the industry call a site selector. And these are professionals that go out and find locations for companies. And that site selector would then contact us and say, we'll be in town on Tuesday, be ready, we want to come have a look at the town. And so we'd take them to the city, we'd take them to the various cities, the county, and show them the sites and the like that might be suitable for them. Today, it's all about getting on the short list. Today, with technology availability, they can do their research. And so they will contact their site selector and say, we're right now on the East Coast. Here's 30 sites on the West Coast we want you to consider, and we want to look at the final six. Those site selectors will do a full background check on this company. They'll be reading all the blogs that you write in the paper. They'll be listening to the radio shows in the morning. They'll be calling the hotels. They call the gas stations. They get the word on the street of how people, what the pulse of this community is. And the bottom line is companies don't want to come to a community where they're not welcome. And there are enough welcome communities out there that they'll soon isolate those communities, and that's where they're going to end up. Finally, when they're down to that final six companies that they've identified, or final six communities they've identified, that's when we hear from them for the first time, when they call and say, you're part of the final cut, now we want to come and do a site visit and have a look at what you've got. So it's so important as a community that we watch what we say publicly, because the whole world is now looking at us.
Yeah, but, you know, and if I know what you're talking about, and, you know, the blogs, for the most part, the blogs now, not the threads underneath them, but the blogs are usually, you know, pretty accurate. They're, you know, dispassionate most of the times, and they talk about, you know, business and such. Some of the threads, absolutely. There are a bunch, you know, there's some rabid dogs out there that get into it. But as we talked about, most companies understand that there's going to be, I mean, you're talking about 8 or 9 people writing that in a community of 90,000.
You know, you've got to recognize, too, though, a lot of these companies come from metropolitan areas. They're used to the thinking in a metro area. And here we are in a rural area. And if we throw out our rural kind of thinking in a particularly rural kind of way, to put it politely, they don't know how to take that. They don't know how to respond to that.
And then, Mark, you're always going to have people who don't want to see change. They're
correct.
Happy with a small town, and bringing in lots of industry does change the whole change the whole feeling. But yet, at the same time, when you see that how many businesses, if, according to the Searchlight in the last, you know, couple of times, except for today, thank you very much, how many businesses are going out of business, and how it looks like we're hurting, we need to welcome change.
I came here in 1982. The town was 45,000. It was a delightful town. We came here because we wanted to be here. At the same time, since that time, we've raised two boys. They've both now grown up and left home, but they went through schools locally. We've been on all the playgrounds locally. We played soccer. We played football. We did the skiing. We did all the local things. Again, all the way through that, in my heart every day, I didn't want change either. None of us do. But at the same time, I wanted the values that were coming from those changes, the Cascade Theater, the news stories we're talking about on the radio in the morning, this one forgiven, the value that we're putting into our schools today, all these local things come out of this change. And yes, we're all resistance to it, but at the same time, at the end of the day, we're better for it all the way around, and we generally benefit, everybody in the community benefits from it.
Well, Carl and I have definitely made our choice, and we say this all the time, that we, at a period of time, could have gone and left Redding and either been in Europe or been down in Southern California, and we chose to make our future here.
Never been Southern California.
I mean, we're in deep. We're in deep here, and of course, we want to see, no matter where you go, you want to see a community that cares, and there should always be an outlet for people to speak their minds. It's about being educated.
I agree.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, and people are going to speak their minds, and a good company is going to say, okay, I see this, but what are the other, does that go beyond?
I think speaking your mind is absolutely adamant. But speak it in a measured, informed way.
Okay, well, that's what we say about all things. And let's not be trying to destroy the other person when we're doing it, instead of just being able to disagree with it. Okay, here's some questions coming in. That we just blew off in. But it says, is EDC going to be involved in all the negotiations at Stillwater? And what is your basis for bringing businesses in? I mean, what criteria do these businesses have to meet?
To go back to Stillwater, EDC was involved in the beginning of Stillwater and taking the option on the land, taking it through the environmental process. Once it reached a point, then it was transferred over to the city of Redding. So they're actually ultimately responsible for the final negotiation on it. It's part of our marketing. Obviously, when we're out there marketing, we include Stillwater with our marketing, but the city of Redding will be negotiating everything that goes in there. What's our basis for companies coming in? We look for companies that are a fit for this area. And one is medical devices has been a very good one for us. And so that's one, we call it a cluster. Types of companies that will fit together in a certain industry that we can bring in and they'll benefit from each other by coming in. Medical devices one, recreation is another. Last Friday I was down in Sacramento looking at companies down there that are in the recreation business. Obviously, we're in a great location for someone that's building anything in terms of whether it's bicycles, kayaks, or whatever. Other ones that come in is green energy. I mean, we are now working on a green park up in City of Shasta Lake. And, we're in the final stages of getting the report in on that one. Green energy is definitely the future. We're very much supportive of it. There's so many different avenues and opportunities in it. It's another one that we will be researching. These are the type of companies we're looking to bring in.
Are there pay scales, and getting a little more specific, is there pay scales in these that you look at and go, you know, these people pay $18 to $20, these people pay $10 to $12?
Absolutely, and we're focused on the $18 to $20. Okay. We're not about building more of the minimum wage jobs. We want higher primary industry jobs. Every primary industry that's created has a multiplier. So for every job you get in primary industry, you get a 1.7 to 2.2 multiplier of additional jobs that are created. So that primary industry job is usually an 18 to 20 hour job plus benefits if we can do it, and that will in turn create another job which is usually at, you know, minimum wage or more as well. So
sure.
That's the benefit of primary industry.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Our guest is Mark LaSalle from the Economic Development Corporation. We're talking about the criteria to bring in businesses, how they're vetted. The fact is, too, is at the end, I mean, after you find them, then the city takes over the negotiations.
Only on Stillwater Park. Rest of the stuff, the rest of the sites we do ourselves. But on Stillwater Park, the city does the final negotiation.
Great. Join us after these messages. After these messages. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. CNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR1460.com. You can chat with us. It's 8:54 in the morning on January the 24th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Anything you want in tobacco and accessories, great walk-in humidor, coffee with Espresso Joes, and they even have a meeting room that they open up to people with free Wi-Fi. Get your coffee, walk over there, get on your computer. Joe and Shelley support our community, support our veterans. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew. Our guest, Mark LaSalle from Economic Development Corporation. It's been a great hour, Mark. Some contentious issues, but we, as the citizens of our great city and the cities of Anderson and Shasta Lake and Shasta County, have got to keep our eyes on the goal there.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about some successes that we're looking at?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much good stuff going on out there right now. Let me just back up for 1 minute. I was in I sold my business 4 years ago. The 3 years prior to starting in this position, I was with an auction company, and I traveled all over the country. The reason I'm back here now is this is a community that has every opportunity to succeed. The elements are all here. I was in so many communities that were dead. The people were dead. They'd given up. Their whole attitude was dying, and that's why I'm so adamant about we've got to be careful what we say, because we have everything that companies want, but we've got to present it in a way that they can recognize it and see it. Let me share a couple of successes.
Let's go. We've got 4 minutes. Let's go to John. He's on the phone. John, a quick answer or a quick question, quick answer, so we can finish up with some other things. Please. John,
yeah,
you're on.
Hey. This is John. Yeah, I was just calling about, keeping our jobs and our business local. I run a sound company here in town, and I've been trying to bid for Market Fest, to see if we can win this contract. They've got a group coming in from Southern Oregon that does a great job, actually, but we've been doing Mosquito Serenade the last couple of years, and I'm just trying to figure out what to do, with Viva Downtown, and to see if they would like to keep the money here local. I'm already about $2,000 under the bid of the other guy, so we'll see.
Okay, John, that's a good point, because, I've heard a couple of the things lately is, why are we outsourcing to other places when, even out of the country for things, when we could be doing it right here? So it's a good question. Okay, John, thank you very much for your phone call.
Okay, let's talk about some of the success stories that you wanted to close with.
Let me share a couple with you. One is a company in town called Spiritus Solutions, owned by Rick Sabraka. Rick came here 5 years ago. This is a high-tech company. He came out of Silicon Valley. And what it is, they're an international marketing company of high-tech software. And you walk into this company, and, I mean, it has got a great vibe. There's just an energy in that room. And there's one bank of phones that look after South America, another bank of phones that look after Asia, another bank of phones that look after Europe, another bank of phones that look after the East Coast. You're meeting people that speak four languages. You're meeting people that have masters in physics. These are bright, energetic people, generally in the 25-35 age group. The first question you ask, he has 50 of these people. Where did he find them? Every one of them came from this community. They're coming out of Simpson. They're coming out of other areas. They all came from this community. We have the resources here. He is doing business here for 50% of what he could do it for in Silicon Valley. We are competitive. We've got the goods. We can go out and compete with the world if we just recognize that ourselves. The second one I want to talk about is Echo Research. This is a company owned by a local person that's starting out. He's being picked up by Lowe's. He was picked up by Disneyland, who did their park in Hong Kong with his product. This year, he will hire 50 people and expect to possibly hire another 50 next year. This is a local startup company.
This is a local guy here?
We almost lost him to Southern California. We got a hold of him. We're providing the resources to him, and we're helping him grow right here. These are not minimum wage jobs. These are good jobs that he's putting together. Last week, he signed on with another distributor for 4,000 outlets throughout the U.S. and Canada. Extremely, extremely good. Another one, very briefly, is GCI Technology, or Technical. They do highway paving testing. A company has been around 10 years. Normally, in a good project, is 50,000 tons of paving. This coming summer, they have almost 2 million tons of paving to do. These are seasonal jobs, but they're all prevailing wage jobs that 20 or 30 people in this community are going to be getting. Those funds are all coming back in. This is a company doing well. There's a lot of them doing very well right now.
Great. You know, Mark, we've run out of time here, but I'm glad we finished up with
inspirational.
With some things that are working. In fact, we want to we'll hold you here afterwards and talk to you a little bit about these companies. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. You know what? This has been things are looking up. Things can be better. We can do that here. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An explosion at Moscow.